Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, these are God's words. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Then he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Parable of the Good Samaritan is a very famous parable. Even many who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who think that the Christian religion is one of walking decently and hoping that you're decent enough at the time that you die, that you have done well enough. Even many who think that way are familiar with this passage because it shows us what Christ produces in those whom he saves. He produces his own nature, his own character. A love for those who were his enemies at great cost to himself to do whatever is necessary for their good. And praise God that the Lord Jesus has done that. He has loved us while we were still his enemies. Christ died for us and at great cost to himself, humiliating himself to become a creature in the form of a slave man, even to death, and that on the cross, suffering the wrath of God on the cross. And having suffered the wrath that our guilt deserves, also going through the humiliation of being under the power of death for 3 days, joined to us in all that we do, going under the power of death for a time and rising again from the dead. The Lord Jesus, at the greatest sacrifice ever, the greatest sacrifice possible, God made him who knew no sin to be sin. Has loved us and has accomplished everything good for us. And so when we love our enemies that way, it is God the Holy Spirit applying to us the character of Christ. But that is not the question of the man that is being answered here in the passage in Luke, is it? If you look up at verse 25, the question is, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer of Jesus ultimately in verse 37 is, Go and do likewise. And of course, if there were follow-up here, the appropriate follow-up would be, But I can't. And the response that you might know would have been appropriate from Jesus is, But I can. And I will do it in your place. This man knew what had to be done to inherit eternal life, and he knew that he couldn't do it. Because he answers not just the 10. If you answer in the form of the 10, you know, with the exception really of, you know, First Commandment and 10th Commandment, you might flatter yourself to think that you have kept 2 through 9. If you weren't understanding the commandments the way the Lord Jesus teaches the commandments. But this man knows what he needs to do, and he answers in the form not of the 10 commandments, but of the 2 great commandments. Love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Sadly, he thinks in order to justify himself, he just needs to satisfy number 2. Can you imagine hearing the first great commandment and thinking that you have kept it? And yet this man says, and yet it says of this man in verse 29, wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" How sad. I am grieved because I often am comfortable with the level to which I love God with my soul, heart, mind, and strength. But if I stop and think about it, I have never kept the first great commandment well. And yet, this man figured if he could just nail down the definition of neighbor to something narrow enough for the people that he perhaps liked well and had treated the best, that he might be justified by the standard that he had repeated from God's law. And that's why Jesus tells this parable. Not because it's something doable, even though it is something that he produces the image of in the believer's life. But he doesn't tell the parable because it's something doable. He tells it because it is most undoable. So that we will see how he has loved us, and we will know that he has loved us perfectly, and he has loved his Father perfectly, and inheriting eternal life does not come by what we have done, but on the merit of what Christ has done. And that we should then look to him who has earned our eternal life to produce in us the character that he describes here. And yes, we should very much take this as instruction for how we are to love. And praise the Lord, not only has he done it in our place, but part of what he has earned is that the Holy Spirit would make us to be like himself. So, day by day, at the very point in which someone, usually a sibling, because that's with whom you are spending most of your time, or perhaps someone in the church, because that's where you are with whom you are spending the next most amount of your time, when someone does something and you feel the enmity, first of all, thank the Lord Jesus that he has loved you as his enemy and that he has loved God with all his heart and that those things are counted for you. And second of all, ask the Lord Jesus by his Spirit to help you to be like him so that you can self-sacrificially love for their good, whatever sibling, whatever person in the church, whatever person has been an enemy to you. May the Lord help us. Let us ask him to do so now. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you that you have given your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased, so that we do not need to seek to justify ourselves, because you have justified us through Christ. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for the perfection of your love to God, of your love to man, of your keeping all of the law, of your suffering in our place, atoning for our sin and earning our eternal life. And we pray, Lord, that you would be working in us and on us by your Spirit. We ask specifically with respect to what we have just done, reading your word and thinking about it together in worship, by faith in you, that your Holy Spirit would use it to work out in us your salvation, which you have won. So do this for us, we pray. We ask that we would be a people who, because we have been made right with God by you,
love our enemies, even self-sacrificially, in every way that is genuinely good for them. Do this for us, we pray, in your own precious name, Lord Jesus, and your children here say, Amen. Amen.